Should have been thinking about the song. I was thinking I have four announcements quickly. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to Penny. Penny Wood, she turns 25 today.
Again.
So yeah, I hope you hear all that. Greetings, happy birthday. And the other announcement is next Sunday we are going to start Sunday school again. And be paying attention for times because I think I'd like to start at 9:30 and go Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:30 and then have a half hour break of fellowship time, you know, drink some coffee, get some juices flowing, get the IV of coffee in, you know, so you can stay awake for this, you know, and then we'll meet for the church service at 11. And that means we'll be going live on Facebook sometime around 11:30-ish or so. And so it'll be a little bit different change there. I had two other announcements and I can't think of them. But anyway, the other one is Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. All of us are here because of our mother and father. But anyway, just want to shout out to my mom, who I think is watching on Facebook. And, you know, she did the best she could. My mom is a fantastic woman and has always been incredibly supportive of me. She prayed me through high school and college, especially college, at least academically. High school, she prayed me through, you know, staying alive through high school in my wild days, and then through college, and has always been hugely supportive. Mom used to come up and take care of the kids while we ran camp, and we couldn't have done camp without her. And I remember the last year she came up, John was taller than her, and my dad was like, "Mary Ellen, how much longer are you going to keep going up there? The kid's bigger than you are." And so, anyway, but she was always supportive and still is. And so I just want to shout out happy Mother's Day, Mom. We are going to be in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, as we continue through Romans chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 21 through 31, but focusing on verses 25b through 31, as we look at salvation by grace through faith. This last week and really all these messages in Romans are very, very solid doctrinal messages, which are fantastic. Because with the solid doctrine, there's also great application. And again, that is the case this morning as we look at this amazing doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. The writer Paul is writing to the churches or the believers in Rome, and he has been sharing with them these great truths. Now, I have a question as we get started, maybe a series of them. Why are you here? I mean, not in this building or not there, but why are you here on earth? Why were you born? Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure you have. We've all taken time to think, why in the world was I born? And why do people even exist? The Bible clearly tells us that man was created by God and for God. Colossians 1:16 tells us all things were created through him and for him. And in Romans chapter 1, it tells us that even though they knew God, they glorified him not as God, nor gave thanks. And so we read and we understand from the scripture that man was created for God. Man was created to give honor and glory to God. It wasn't because God was lonely, it wasn't because God was bored, but because God created man to give honor and glory to him. Man, however, failed to do that. When man sinned in the garden and the sin was passed down from Adam on down to all men, man failed to give glory to God and honor to God. Jesus, as the perfect man-God, completely fulfilled what man was supposed to do. In other words, Jesus always gave glory to the Father, always gave glory to God. And in John 17:4, in his high priestly prayer, Jesus said, he said, "I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." So man was created in the image of God to do the will of God, but we fell from that as a result of the fall. Death was passed to all men. And not just physical death, but spiritual death was passed to all men. And spiritually dead people cannot give honor and glory to God. Spiritually dead people cannot glorify God. And so walking, breathing, but spiritually dead people cannot glorify God. So Jesus came to make us alive again spiritually so that we could bring glory to God. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 45, verses 18, 19, and then verses 22 and 23. He says this, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established it and did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance." Sounds a lot like Philippians at the end of that. Sounds a lot like Philippians 2, where he says that every knee will bow of things in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So let me just say, in a way of introduction, I'm going to say it two or three times through the introduction, God's purpose in saving us is to glorify himself. God's purpose in saving us is to glorify himself. He didn't save us so you could live a comfortable life. He didn't save us so that you can have ease and comfort here. He saved us for his glory, and his glory is paramount. As disciples of Christ, we are to glorify God in all that we do. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." So now that we're saved, now that he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he did that for his glory, we are, as saved people, to be giving him glory through our lives. That's the purpose. So God's purpose in saving us is to glorify himself. That's the purpose. But yet we live in a very self-centered society. Have you noticed that? A lot of self-focus, self-gratification, self-ism has so permeated our society. It seems like the norm. When we were raising our children, they were telling us that, you know, you got to be careful when you discipline because you don't want to hurt their self-esteem, right? Little do they know, they came out little selfish buggers to begin with. So there's not a lot that's going to help, going to hurt their self-esteem, except poor discipline or no discipline. But when you properly discipline, it doesn't hurt their self-esteem. But that was a big thrust, is we got to be careful because everybody's self-esteem is so important. And everybody's self-centered. And that attitude and that philosophy and that thing has moved into the church. And in the way we present the gospel has even changed over the years. You know, one of the things that was very successful for Billy Graham was he just told people they were sinners. And before a holy God, they were sinners. And you know, for some reason, we got away from that theology. We got away from that presentation of the gospel. Now it's all about what Jesus can do for you. And how, you know, he loves you and he died for you. And it's like you're the center of his world. You don't want to burst your bubble. You're not the center of Jesus' world. He should be the center of your world. But this idea has permeated the church so that people don't preach about sin anymore. And people don't talk about the fact that we are to forsake sin. And they don't even preach about hell. They don't want to tell people, hey, if you don't put your faith in Christ, you're going to hell. I actually had a lady one time ask me, when we were talking about church membership, and I was asking her, do you want to become a member of the church? And she said, well, besides being able to vote, what else do I get? as a member of the church. In other words, what's in it? Basically, what's in it for me? I'm thinking, we're not talking about insurance here. We're talking about church membership, you know? And long are the gone are the days when even when John Kennedy stood before the world or the U.S. and said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Boy, those days are gone, aren't they? Now it's all about what the government can give me. And that's not the, and that attitude has permeated into the church. Now we're all thinking about, or people are talking about all that God can give them instead of how can we serve, how can we glorify God. And God's purpose in saving you is not for your comfort, but for His glory, okay? And so as we move into Romans chapter, and even in the book of Romans, Paul starts out in verse 18 of chapter 1, and he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You say, well, Paul, that doesn't make me feel good. Tough. Right? And that's where he then begins to basically unpackage this whole idea that everybody stands before God as a sinner. That nobody has an in with God. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you've obeyed the law to the very best of your ability. No. It doesn't matter. You are condemned before God. The pagans are, we already know they are. But then also those who are proud religious people, they are too. And then he begins in chapter 3 in verse 21 with that transitional phrase, but now. But now, and let me just read now. He says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in the divine forbearance He passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of those who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. By the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So as I sat down to study the second half of this passage from verses 25b and following to verse 31, I read it over and over again and went, what is he talking about? Have you ever had a passage of scripture like that where you just kind of like brain freeze and you go, that's so confusing. So then I opened up MacArthur's commentary and he says, understandably, this is a difficult passage to unpackage. I'm like, thank you. So anyway, as we look at this passage, I think we can break it down into four sections, and we may take a little bit. We're going to take a rabbit. We're going to.